you're such a great God. And this morning you said to me, I take delight in your people. And God, we're just so grateful that you love us, that you are here with us, God. And just as we sang, God, we want you just to pour down today on this congregation, God. We love you, and we thank you, God, that just like that Amazing Grace song said, Lord, you have taken every single sin, and you have nailed it to the cross, God. You're done with sin. You're done with sin, and God, praise your name. And thank you, God, that now you just want to lift us up. You want to show us who you are. So today, in this entire service, God, may you get the glory. Yes. May you get the glory, God. Amen. And may we kneel before you in humility. Mm-hmm. And know that you are our great God. Mm-hmm. And you are here and you delight in us. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Testing. Sorry. Amen. So while welcome. I'm here. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Amen. Blessings over you. Just want to invite all the men that were involved with the prayer retreat. Just to come up. And while they're coming up, just want to remind us, next weekend, the Father's Heart weekend, we started here on Friday night at 7 p.m., Saturday morning, 8 or 10 a.m., and then there'll be a soup and lunch included, Saturday, 7 p.m., and then Sunday, a.m., they'll be doing the service here. The other thing I want to remind us of is our monthly Lift Up Red Deer prayer, just over here at the Memorial Center. And just want to invite everyone. What we're going to do, I'm going to be the MC there. We're just going to do an overview, what we feel, what we sense, what God has answered, the prayers of his saints. Because of Lift Up Red Deer, okay? Not only Lift Up Red Deer, but other prayers that have gone on throughout the city. So come and hear a good report about that. Amen? So, these are some of the guys that I took. Maybe you could just spread out here more this way, guys, so they can see you. Anyway, these are the guys that came out to the prayer retreat. There's probably some missing, maybe. I don't know if there is. Amen? They took time out of their busy schedule to come and to pray and seek God. So we're going to start, and I told them, I says, just in one sentence, you know, tell the congregation what it meant to you to come to the prayer retreat. So, amen? So Matthias is going to be first.
Their prayer retreat is just very cool because you have like 2 days to get to know the people a little bit better. And, you just get to know your brothers from church. That's what I like about it.
Sorry, Barry didn't come with us, but I want him up here. The reason being is because I'm going to introduce you guys to the Lazarus House ministry as well. So that's why Barry's up here. So we'll go to Ryan here. He doesn't want to miss out.
I just say it was friendship building, bonding, and faith building for sure. So open to a lot of these guys, everyone opened their heart. You got to see who they were. So it was a chance to listen and a chance to tell. So it was good. Everyone should come out next time.
And I'll say amen to that. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Oh.
Oh, I get to go again. I'm Ryan Wachtel, and that's my wife in the back there, Carolina. And I got three great kids, but they're already gone, so. And Alvin's my father-in-law, and Kathy's, where's Kathy? You know how that works.
I'm Rick Berg. I actually kind of been wrestling with some stuff about, I've been on a sabbatical at my studio in Crossfield, and the retreat thing was, the last retreat as well was a blessing. And it really gave me focus more on what the Lord wants done. And I really believe that a lot of people should come out to that retreat more often. Like, we went out of there on fire. So, you know, so I would really recommend that other people come to this thing, because, and it is, like Ryan said, it's a real bonding thing. And you really feel the love of the Lord coming through everybody. And that happened the last time too, eh? So we just recommend that everybody come out and just get blessed, you know. Because God is good, God is love, God is Yahweh Rapha, the God that heals. And he wants to heal all of us. Because we all need fixing. Come on, let's be honest. Okay, and I guess that's all I got to say. And God bless you all for being here today. This is my brother, Tim.
Thanks, Rick. There's a little bit of culture there, too. For anybody that would like to try Saskatchewan spaghetti, Alvin down there made some. So that was good. That was good. And, I just enjoyed the retreat because I got to know some of the men a little bit better. And there's strength in numbers. And the Word of God says that if any two or three of you agree together in Jesus' name, he'll do it for you. So, yeah. So I enjoyed my time there, and God helped me with some things that I was working through, too. So I think that was true for everybody. Here's Tim. I'm First Timothy. This is Second Timothy.
It's amazing what happens when a group of a dozen guys get together in the name of Jesus. Amen, brother. Right? So it was amazing. And I really appreciated just, like, getting out of the city for a weekend, just away from... I stole his. It was amazing to get away out of, like, just the busy life and just to get out in nature and just... it was autumn, so all the trees were starting to turn. It was gorgeous out there, and I really appreciated that. So, here's Jay.
Wow, like colors. You want to see the glory of God? Look at his creation. And colors were amazing. The views were panoramic from that hillside. It was very restful. I enjoyed my time with just talking with Tim on the hillside there. And, I find a lot of peace and rest at these things. And getting to know the guys, that's more than one sentence, but anyway.
My name is Jaron. like a couple of the guys said, to get to know a few people, a chance to get out of the city and tenting one last time before it gets too cold. Well, no, we're going to tent anyway in the snow, but that's another story. And seeing all the fall colors, reestablishing and reaffirming my love of the Lord and the love of Alvin and his 30-second warnings. By the way, you're talking today. Which is always good. Keeps you on your toes. That's right. That's right. I had something else to say, too, but I forgot what it was. So I guess that's it.
My name is Doug Kenny. I've been wanting to go to a men's retreat for a long time. Thanks, Alvin. That was great. What I got out of it was encouragement. I hadn't been in church I'd moved to Calgary for a year and hadn't gone to church but two times in the whole year. So to get back and then get involved in this back with Potters get acquainted with the guys again, it's great. Like Jaron here, there's more I wanted to say, but I forgot.
Thanks, Derek. I'm Richard Peets. The retreat was it was good. I'm kind of new to Christianity, right? I usually spend my days alone, right? I can always talk myself into a bad idea. So having the guys there, the ride down, Ryan, was awesome. I really bonded with Ryan. The people who made it possible, Barry, that was Barry kind of did all the paperwork for me. So I could go, and I've never really got a chance to thank him. So, yeah, thanks, Barry. Saskatchewan spaghetti. Well, you guys can figure that one out on your own. But, I won't give anyone that recipe. Thank you.
My name is Raymond Paquette. I had just moved to Red Deer, called by the Lord, I feel, the weekend of, or the day, a few days before we left for this, to Big Valley, which was a wonder in itself. So my introduction to Red Deer and Potter's Hands Ministries was out in nature and bonding with these fellows here. It was a great experience as I had recommitted my life and found God again, you know, in everything I do and say, and these guys helped me further that knowledge and grow more in our love, my love for Him. And I praise the Lord for the way He's working in my life and how He is answering my call. I've always wanted Him to mold my life. Well, I'm in Potter's hands now, so... Yeah, here I am, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Did you want any more? Okay. Okay, all you guys that were at the prayer retreat, except those ones that are involved with the Lazarus House, you may sit down. Yeah. Go ahead. Stay here. So, the Lazarus House Ministry is a discipleship. Kevin, come on up. This is a discipleship training house. We have two houses, and Barry and Ray are the leaders in those houses. And what we're trying to do with the Lazarus House Ministry is to help them, help men grow in discipline unto the Lord. Amen. So we're open to the Holy Spirit's guiding to give us eyes to see who's ready. And so especially all these guys here, I feel, are led by the Lord to come into the ministry of the Lazarus House. Amen? And so when you pray for Potter's Hands and you remember Lazarus House, these are the men, some of the men. I think there's one missing, eh? Yeah, one missing this morning. And Jaron and Tim have left. They found their own place, and they're living there. But this is the group of men that you're praying for the Lazarus House Ministries. And we started this ministry probably about 4 years ago. And just in the last year, I would say, it's really starting to grow and flourish. We got a curriculum. We like to see these people involved. There's mandatory things that they need to be involved in throughout the week, okay? So this is not a life of leisure coming into the Lazarus House and resting there. It's not that. It's not about that. So pray that God would just work in these guys' heart and that they'll just grow and flourish. What I see with the Lazarus House Ministry, these guys here, not only involved with the Lazarus House, but should they leave and go to another church as leaders, that they need to get involved in the ministry. Not to sit back, like many of us, myself included, sat back for years. 15 years just sitting back in the back row and doing nothing. And so I want to see these guys, I'm trying to instill in their hearts, when they get involved, Lazarus House, that it's just the beginning. I want to see these men to rise up into the men of God that they are. Amen? And so when they get involved in another church, whatever it may be, or whatever, a family or whatever, that they're the leaders. Amen? So you pray to that end for these guys. Amen? So I just wanted to give Barry and Ray, why don't you guys just step forward? These are the two leaders. Ray Paquette just came, like he said, just got involved with us about a month ago, I guess. A month and a little bit. And he's in a stage one house. Stage one house, there's a lot more compulsory, mandatory things that they need to get involved with, okay? And we're hoping in that time, about 3 months, that they stay the course, okay? Steady every day. There's virtually something going on every day for these guys, okay? In Barry's house, it's a little bit less stringent, okay? But nevertheless, we want them involved. We want these guys involved. It's not a cakewalk. It's not, you know, I'm just free rent type thing. It's not free, by the way. It costs them money, but it's cheap. And so this is our desire. And both these men, I feel, have been called to help come along my side and to support that ministry. So I'm just going to give Ray a short 20-minute opportunity to share. Just kidding.
Second warning. Well, like I said, I was since I was born again back in '83 in Edmonton, where I then lived in the boys' house in the Christian men's home for like 12 years. After I fell away from the Lord and went to the way of the world, praying to God to get me out of that situation, out of that pit. And I didn't know how he could ever get me in, because the more I tried and I was succeeding, all of a sudden I'd fall back down. Too many friends coming over. So I kept asking God to bend me and mold, break me and mold me, and didn't know how he could do it, because I was just hanging on to those addictions. To a point where he took me away from there, and I said, wow, you're an awesome God, the way you work things out, the way you brought me here in solitude where I can just focus only on you, and there's no TV, there's no friends, nobody else around, and here we are, just you and I. And I got down on my knees, I recommitted my life fervently, and said, Lord, you've broken me, now mold me. And I didn't know what was in store. I kept praying for a mission, an assignment. And by and by, I'm walking up and down the hallways praying for everybody around me and everywhere. And I saw, gee, I'm spending my whole day in prayer. I've never done that before. By and by, I came across this ad in the paper looking for a person to lead, house lead, and mentor three or four others. I said, wow, that's what I'm doing here. I am sort of helping other guys who are expressing a faith in Jesus and looking for his way, for his salvation. And that's what I'm doing. Well, maybe that's what God has in store for me. So I prayed about it for a whole week. Before I asked, I called. I went to bed praying for that. I wake up in the morning, and I had just seen God. God appeared to me in the dream. Three people standing by windows where a lot of light was coming through, or so I thought, asking me one question: can you do it? I knew what they were talking about. And I says, well, by the power of the word and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I wake up, and I am just jumping off my bed. I'm so high in the spirit. I couldn't believe it. I have met up with God, and he was confirming to me that's what he wanted me to do. Well, I was just going up and down the hallways, and people asked me, are you high? I said, oh, yeah, I am. I am high in the Holy Spirit, and it's true. And I told them about this dream. I've been telling everybody since, which is the best testimony I've ever had. But I remembered that how I had sought the Lord so much, and I sought the Lord diligently, as the Word says, and he did answer my call. Anyway, I called Alvin that day. I prayed about it all morning long, and Leah, mid-afternoon, I called Alvin, and I asked him about this position to house lead, and I said, I'd be driving by Red Deer on Sunday afternoon. Can I drop in to see you? He says, yes, okay. But when I was here with my son having a meal, Alvin and Ray came by. Well, these were afterwards, we had a good meeting with him, all four of us. And afterwards, on the way up to Edmonton, I thought, there were two people that came out. But in my dream, I saw three. But the light, I couldn't make out their faces. That light. Oh, yeah, right. You know what I mean. But anyway, I had to go at Edmonton and clear up a whole bunch of things with the government and different parts of government. And I lived back in my old area, but kept away from my so-called friends. I was so happy to be able to say no when temptation came my way. And looking forward to coming to Red Deer and getting established in this Lazarus house, because I once was dead, now I'm alive. Everything was so, fell into place. I kept marveling at how God was really, really getting involved, you know, like never before. So I came to Edmonton, to Red Deer, and we went off on this prayer retreat, which helped me cement more with the leadership and with Alvin and Barry and amongst others here. And we had such a great time. I recommend this prayer retreat for men, married or single. You want to get to know other men, first of all, and as we get to know God together, we all grow, and we enjoy God's beauty as well, such as Big Valley. Anyways, thank you very much for your time.
Amen. Just one more. We're just going to give Barry an opportunity. Tim and Jaron, you guys can sit down. Eric, come on up here. This is one of the guys that was missing this morning. There's still one more missing. So this is the Lazarus House guys. But I just want to give Barry an opportunity just to share a shorter version of his. Amen? Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll just make a few points. Well, first of all, we're not less stringent over there. I'm father over there, and I may be loving and kind, but I also have the rod out. So, yeah, when Alvin approached me, I jumped at the opportunity. For one, it was Lazarus' house, and I had 3.5 years ago died twice. So that's why I jumped at it. I don't know why I'm so nervous right now. Anyhow, I jumped at that opportunity, and and I'm seeing these guys change, and seeds are getting planted, and they're growing, and they're leaving bit by bit their old life behind. And, you know, I died to all my life behind. I totally died to it. It's no longer there. Like, if you were hearing my testimony, that's exactly what I said, right? So, I'm guiding these guys with love and attention and trying to teach them things they've never learned as a kid. And I provide a family life there that they probably never had. And, yeah, that's what I'm about.
Amen. Hallelujah. You guys can sit down. Kevin was the last guy, so he's in with Barry over there. And these two guys are in the Lazarus House one. So, amen. So, good to go. You need this? Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just so come and visit with us this morning. Open up our hearts, our ears to hear what you had to have to say to us. We ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Good to see what's going on at Lazarus' house. It's good to see, you know, and hear those testimonies, just how God changes lives. I think many of us here today can attest to that, say that God does change our lives and that he is faithful. And I'm grateful for Lazarus' house. I'm grateful for Potter's Hands and just the opportunity this morning to open God's word. And, you know, I got a lot of things going on, and I just want to just open God's word. So I hope that's okay. And sometimes, you know, it's like that duck. He's swimming kind of calmly on the top, but the little legs are going like crazy, you know. So, okay, God's word. I guess I got to pray. If it's okay, can we just pray? And Lord, thank you that we're here today. And I pray that this will just be about you and about your word and truth. Thank you for good reports about how you changed our lives, that you're such a God who responds to repentance and faith, that you are all about restoring us and making us new, and that you are about life and not about death, and that you want to breathe that life into us. So God, today I pray that your word will just be clear and that we will understand what you're saying to us as a church. Thank you for this church. Thank you that you mold us and that you shape us, that you're making us, even when we struggle, even when we disappoint, you're so good. You are a good God. And just pray today that we would experience your arms of love around us, that we'll be reminded how deep the love of the Father is to those who have been called by him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke, first of all, I'm just going to talk a bit about the harvest that's out there and really believing that, excuse me, that there's going to be more and more of a harvest, that we are in those days now where it just seems like everything seems to be crumbling, everything seems to be falling apart, and we're needing God more and more and more, that a day is coming soon when there's going to be more people crying out to God and needing to turn to him and realize that our only hope, the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. So I want to read kind of a weird passage first and then a more familiar. So in Luke chapter 11, verse 23. That's where we're going to start. Luke 11, verse 23. Thank you. And those well-equipped guys in the back who know what they're doing are going to make sure it's all on the screen. Here's what Jesus said about the harvest in Luke 11. He said, he who, again, verse 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. I'm going to just read that one more time. That's a verse that's been going over my head for months now. Such a powerful, potent word. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And then here's the part we never talk about, and I'm going to get to this a little later on, but this is really important as well. He says, gives kind of an analogy. He says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest, and it does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that man is worse than the first. I'm going to explain that a little later on, but now just turn with me in the Gospel of John to John 4. John 4, and again, just talking about that idea that there's a harvest out there. You know, Jesus said that, he said, look, you know, open your eyes and see. Look, there's a harvest, and it's white. You know, it's ready, and it's ready here in Alberta right now. Our harvest hasn't gone very well. I don't know if you drive in the country at all, but there's windrows all over the place, and it's white because there's snow all over it. Not because it's, I mean, it's white for the harvest too, but it's probably one of the worst years that we've had in this county and in this Red Deer area for a long time. There's a lot of harvest that hasn't been brought up because of the weather conditions. Jesus said, you know, for those of us who are in the end days, which are people like you and me, Jesus said, this is what's going to happen in the end days. There's going to be, the world's going to be ready to receive Christ. There's going to be people ready to hear about hope who don't believe in hope. There are going to be people who need to be healed, and my church is going to be equipped to heal. And I mean literally to heal, so that the deaf can hear and the blind can see and the lame can walk. And people who are struggling with inner healing, that inner healing is going to happen in their lives too. Because that is how I am going to manifest myself as the King of Kings to this world. And that's going to happen more and more in the end times, in the last days. There's going to be a hunger. There's going to be a thirst for me like there's never been before, and I have put you strategically in this place, in this position, so that you can be used by me. It's an amazing privilege. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to empower my church. Remember what he said in Acts 1, verse 8. He says, I'm never going to send you powerless. I'm going to send you with power. You're going to have the power and all the authority of the Holy Spirit so that you can go into the world. And you can go to Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. I will empower my church to bring in the harvest. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. There's a lot of things in my life where I'm just crying out to God, saying, God, more of that. I want the harvest, and I want to see more people turn to you. I want to see the power of your Spirit unleashed in ways that we've never seen it before. So now I read, kind of in that context, just the Samaritan woman. I'm going to start reading verse 7. You know this story. Many of you do. John 4, verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone to town to buy some food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Let me just explain that, just because I might forget otherwise. So Samaritans didn't associate with Jews. They weren't socially fit. They didn't fit together. They hated each other. Plus, a man in that culture would never speak to a woman when they were alone. And the third thing, I'm doing this real quickly, and some things I'm going to do here really quickly, so you're going to have to listen fast today. The third thing is that she was considered to be unclean because she was a Samaritan. She was a half-breed, is what the Jews would have thought. And because of that, Jesus or no other self, you know, respecting Jew or Hebrew would never drink from the ladle that she had dipped into the water because she was unclean. So that's why she says, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How could you ask me for a drink? And Jesus said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Ooh. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself? As did his sons and the flocks and the herds. And Jesus answered her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water. And we're going to stop there. I'm going to take a drink of some water that's not living water. We're going to get, though, to the living water, so don't worry. And then just to get to the end of the story, because it's the end of the story where we get back to the harvest. So this time we're moving on to verse 34. Let me just explain. So Jesus has spoken to the woman, and then he talks to her about her life and the fact that she's been married 5 times, and she's got a boyfriend, she's got a 6th person in her life. And then she believes in Jesus. That's really the key thing here. She just believes in him. She receives this living water. She receives Christ. And she goes to her town in Samaria. And amazingly, she brings back all her friends. And she says, you guys got to meet Jesus. And here's where the harvest comes in, right? You got to meet Jesus. I've met this man who knows, this is what she says, I've met this man. He knows everything about my life. He's this amazing prophet. I think he's the Messiah we've been waiting for. You got to come and meet him. And they did. We're told that they all came, the whole village came, and that many, many believed in him. And then they asked Jesus to stay a couple extra days. Jesus, stay a couple extra days. Teach us more and more. Disciple us. Because, why? Because the harvest is starting to happen. Because the harvest is being brought in. Amen. Amen. So, verse 34. Now you get to the last part of the story where the disciples are worried about Jesus and they think, well, you haven't eaten much, Lord. And he goes this. He says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. And many of the Samaritans, you probably don't have this, but I'll just read this last part. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed for 2 days because of his words. Get this. Because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Because of Jesus' words, because of Jesus' ministry, because Jesus cared for the Samaritans, which was a huge surprise. What are you doing with Samaritans when you have all these other Jewish people that need saving? Jesus cared and he loved. And he tells us today that there's a harvest that's ready to be harvested, and he's asking us whether we care about it at all. Do you care that there's all people, all kinds of people who are lost and who don't know Jesus Christ and who don't have that hope in their lives that many of us have? And if you do, what are you doing? What are you doing about it? The reality is we are easily distracted. We're really easily distracted. And I think that comes especially clear, or it's especially true when it comes to the harvest. We're really easily distracted. We're kind of like that farmer who's got this huge combine in his machine shed, and he knows he's got to get out there. He's got thousands of acres to harvest. And the first day he looks at his combine, and he goes, oh, I got to fill up the air with tires. So that day he fills the air with tires, and he goes, well, I'm going to take the rest of the day off. And the next day he starts the tractor up, and he gets it all rumbling and shaking, and he goes, that's good, but I better do an oil change. And so the next day he does that oil change. And then the third day he actually gets the combine. You're like this story. You're an old farmer. It's not even a story. It's just a little of an illustration. But he gets the combine going, and he actually takes it outside of the shed. Then he says, you know, the windows are pretty dirty. I think today I'm just going to clean the windows. And, you know, I could go on and on here. You're getting the point, right? That we are so easily distracted, especially when it comes to the harvest. We are distracted, even though it's ready. The time is right now. There are people ready, people in your lives. There are people that you know. There are people that I know who are ready to find their hope in Jesus Christ. But it's up to us to shine that light and to tell them and to share Christ. Jesus said this, open your eyes and look at the fields. And what that really is a call for us to focus. Right? In two ways, he's talking about vision. Open your eyes, he said, and look at the harvest. You got to wake up. It's out there, right? But we're so easily distracted by the things of this life. We're easily distracted. We get caught up in all kinds of other things in our lives, so that what should be the most important thing, which is that we are harvesters, that we are gathering. Remember what he said earlier? You're either gathering with me or you're scattering. There's only two options. But because we're distracted, we don't do the gathering work. And instead, we do more of the scattering work. We get distracted when all kinds of things happen. Maybe when there's pain in your life. You know how it is, you stub your toe all day long, all you feel is that toe, right? In some ways, that's how it is in our other lives too. We have some pain. You have pain in your life. You have things that, I have pain in my life. There are things that you're disappointed in, things that you wish weren't the way they were. Sometimes that pain preoccupies all of our thinking, right? And you walk around all day long with that, you know, and sometimes all our lives long, we walk with that pain, and we're so distracted that we don't see what we could see and what God wants us to see. And that's why Jesus says, open your eyes, just open them, right? So pain, you know, that might be one of the things. Sometimes it's other stuff. We fight with each other, or we don't get along, or our feelings. Let's talk about our feelings for a minute. Anyone here have feelings? No? Okay, seven of us. Feelings can be a really good thing. Feelings can also be a real distraction. You feel sorry for yourself, or you feel fear, right? I'm afraid, or you feel unappreciated. No one likes me around here, and this person won't talk to me. She walked right by me, and she didn't say anything to me. Now I'm mad at her. You know what that is? It's a distraction. You know, what God says is get out into the field. Go out there and start bringing in the harvest. And we're going, yeah, but she won't talk to me, and I don't like that. I'm not gonna be around her anymore. Or we start feeling like any number of feelings, all kinds of things that happen in our lives. We have feelings. I'm not trying to illegitimatize. There's a word for you. It's not a real word. You know, feelings might be legitimate, but just understand what I'm saying today is that sometimes they become a huge distraction. We get depressed, we get angry, we get afraid, and a lot of times we're so into all of that stuff that we don't see that there are lost people out there. There are people who don't know Jesus Christ. There are people who are bound for an eternal condemnation because we're so wrapped up in our feelings. And here's another one. How about your situation? And you say to me, what situation? You have a situation. I'm telling you, I have a situation. Most of you know my situation. But you got a situation too. And sometimes that situation preoccupies all of our thinking. And maybe your situation is because you're so in debt, or you got a bad marriage, or maybe just a marriage that's struggling, or your situation is you need a place to live. You fill in the blanks, but I'm telling you today, you have a situation. And it is the enemy, and understand this today, it is the enemy who is the greatest distractor. He just loves it when we're distracted. We're so busy with my situation, and I'm so full of fear, or my marriage becomes everything that dominates my life, right? And Jesus says, stop it. Don't you realize that those things in your life, your situation, is only being used by the enemy to distract you so that you keep carrying on taking care of your situation and you're not doing what I asked you to do? Right? You're not doing because you don't even see the harvest. All you see is your problem. You've got a problem. Well, join the crowd. We've all got a problem. We've all got a situation, and we all have feelings that stir because of all of this stuff. And because we focus on those things, we don't do what God really calls us to do. And here's something I won't have time to get into, but I'm just going to make this statement. Here's the real truth, that actually, if we forgot all those problems, if you forgot your situation and actually went into the harvest and got busy getting to know people and sharing who you were and shining your light and actually telling them how Jesus is such an amazing, amazing God and Savior, your situation, for the most part, would take care of itself. It would. I've experienced that. I think it's really true. It would. Because that's where God comes in. That's how God takes care of those things in our lives. And so Jesus says, you know, get rid of the distractions. You are so, he said that to Martha. Martha, he says, you're so easily distracted. And he says that to me too. Stanley. When he says Stanley, I know I got to listen. When he says it two times, Stanley, Stanley, I know I really got to listen. Because you're so easily distracted, you're afraid, and you're covered in shame, maybe, or you're going through a hard thing. That is just a distraction, and it's to keep you from being effective. I want you to be effective. You following me? So Jesus gathers in the harvest. This is what the story of the Samaritan woman is all about. I love this story. He's walking along and he's thirsty. And You know, Jesus doesn't care that this woman is someone he shouldn't talk to. He doesn't care that she's unclean. He doesn't care that she is a Samaritan. All he cares about is that he doesn't really care about the water either, by the way. It's not about the water. All he cares about is that she gets to know who he is. And he reveals himself to her. And he's, you know, if you just knew, he said, if you only knew who you're talking to, you would be asking for living water. You know, he's a great missionary, this Jesus, don't you think? And all the disciples are gone, and he gets a chance to sit down with her, and he says, woman, don't you know that the water that you give me, I'm going to be thirsty again, but the water that I can give to you, you will never thirst again. And if you drink this living water, it will rise up, it will spring up, it will jump up inside of you so that it will have just living water to eternal life. That's the kind of water I can give to you, is what Jesus says. And the cool thing, I know cool isn't a good word to use when you're preaching, but it's a cool thing, is that Jesus says to us, you can offer the same thing to those around you. You have living water to offer. You can offer this bubbling, joyful, hopeful water. Just give it. Just hand it out. Hand it out. And we go, but Lord, what if I run out of it? What if I run out of it? You'll never run out of it. It will spring up. It will spring up to eternal life. It will swell from within you. How many of you have that? Good. 17 of us. Good. The living water that Jesus gives us will spring up inside of you. It will pour out from you to eternal life. To eternal life. And Jesus saw that in this woman. And we see really here one of the first examples of a kind of a small revival that breaks out. And I told you what happened, right? She goes back to her friends. She brings all her friends back to Jesus. And they believe in him. And we don't know how many, but I'm guessing there's dozens or maybe even more, maybe even 100 or more who come to know Jesus on that day and in the next 2 days that follow. And how did it start? How many people did it start with? With one. Jesus is interested in one person. It's the power of the one. There's one that he talks to. There's one that he says, listen, I love you, and I'm going to give you something that you've never had before. And when I give it to you, you're going to be changed. It's good, right? And once you get it, what are you going to do with it? I want to just hold it like this. I don't want anyone to know I've got it, and I definitely don't want to give it to anybody. See? No, you want to give it away. It's like you said, Teresa, right? And this is not rocket science. This is just common sense. If you've got this amazing treasure, right? You have this amazing gift. You have the joy of the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit pouring through you. Don't you want to give it to your neighbor? Don't you want to share it? And to do that, we need to put our distractions completely behind us. And whatever your situation is, whatever my situation is, it can't be a blinder, so I'm no longer, or you're no longer doing what God called us to do. Amen? So now, I want to go back to Luke, and I want to introduce what I think is a kingdom principle. I'm going to end on this, and then we're going to have a time for some ministry, but let me just read that part again, because it's kind of a strange passage, Luke 11:23, where Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. By the way, do you know who scatters? The enemy scatters. And I don't have time today, but in Luke, or in John chapter 10, verse 12, do you have that? John 10, verse 12? I know there's a little slide here. This is extra. You don't get charged for this. John 10, verse 12, Jesus talks about the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd, the good shepherd. Okay, the hired hand, John 10:12, is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock, and the wolf scatters the flock. Just being clear here today where scattering comes from. Where is the root of scattering? It comes from the wolf. He wants that. He wants nothing more than to scatter, to get into the sheep pen and to scatter and have everyone go in different directions. But Jesus is a good shepherd. He holds us together, and he gives us living water. Now back to Luke. So he says, whoever is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest. It does not find it. And then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They go in and they live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. I know that's a hard teaching. I'm going to try to explain it the best I can. It seems like this would be a good thing when you read it. That this person who had an evil spirit, this person was possessed by an evil spirit. That spirit gets driven out. And then that person does this. When it arrives, this person finds, or the house is swept clean and it is put in order. Now, to me, that sounds like a pretty positive thing. Your house is swept clean, right? Your life, your heart, however you want to put it. My heart is swept clean and it's empty. It's clean. It's in order. But that's not a good thing. And here's why. Because the whole purpose of our relationship with our God is not, this is going to be a little radical, so kind of bear with me here a little bit. The whole point isn't that our hearts are clean. The whole point is that our hearts are filled. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean we don't need to be clean. We need to be clean, and there's nothing that moves the heart of God more than repentance and faith. You want to know what it is to be a Christian? That's what it is. You need to repent. Nothing turns the heart of God than when a woman or a man falls on their knees and they say, God, I'm so sorry. God responds to that. Repentance and faith, that's how you become a Christian. But what God's purpose is, isn't that you're just clean. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced this my whole life that we find people, or I've done this in my life too, where I just got to get clean. So I get clean, then I get dirty again. Then I get clean, then I get dirty again. Then I get clean, and then I get dirty again. And God says, you know, the whole point isn't that you get clean. You are clean. You are essentially clean. You are covered under the blood of Jesus. You are completely mine. It's not about you getting clean. It's about you being filled. It's not about the cup being empty and in good order. It's about the cup being as full as it can be. And that is about the Holy Spirit. That is about the Holy Spirit. That is about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And sometimes, again, you might not agree with me, sometimes we might do more harm than good when we pray a magical prayer with someone. And we ask them to just say after me, or, you know, bow your heads and put your hands up, and we do this sort of a trite little thing, and we get them clean, or we think we do, but we haven't prayed that the Spirit of God would fill them to the brim. We haven't prayed that they would receive the full outpouring of his joy and of his peace. And that's why some people do this over, and maybe you're one of these people, you do this over and over and over again in your lives. You keep wanting to get clean. You keep repenting, and there's nothing wrong. Repenting is great. I don't know how to emphasize this anymore. We need to repent. It's repentance that changes the heart of God. But what God really wants from us isn't that we're always fighting to be clean. What he wants from us is that we are fighting to be full of him, filled with his Spirit, filled with his power. We can't go into the harvest. Listen, we can't go into the harvest without the power of God. We can't go into the harvest until we are filled to the brim with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, and with the gifts that he has imparted to his church through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the woman, if you only knew the kind of water, the living water that I'm going to give you, it's the kind of water that's going to just rise up inside of you, and it will swell even to eternal. It'll be an eternal life. Are you following this? I wonder, and I'm just being really honest here, I have not been very good at this, and I plan on changing this. I have not been very good at asking and helping people to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of that, you know, you might say, well, hey, you're a Christian, you must be full of the Holy Spirit. I don't think that's true. I think you have the Holy Spirit. I think the Spirit of God is accessible to you. I think God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, but there are other instances in the Bible when people didn't really have the fullness of the Holy Spirit yet, and something needed to be released. Hands needed to be laid on sometimes. Look at Cornelius. Other leaders had to come and impart the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm running out of time, but I'm going to try to just explain it. To me, the way I look at it, it's like a hose. It's like a garden hose. The garden hose is attached to the source of power. There's no shortage. I agree with you. If you say, I got the Holy Spirit, there's no shortage of power. I agree with you. Because when God pours his power upon you, he doesn't just pour a little bit. It is available. You understand? It is available. But the problem with my garden hose, and probably with yours too, is I got a nozzle. I got a nozzle on my end. God's end, there's no problem with God's end, but my end has a nozzle, and a lot of times in my life, it just dribbles, right? And what God really wants, God's desire in our lives, is he wants to pour out. He says, man, I just want to just burst through you. I want to just pour out upon you. You want to see the bubbling? You want to see the joy? You want to see the life? Well, then open up the other end, right? Open up. The joy can't flow through you if you keep that hose kinked. How many of us got a kinked hose? Hey, yeah. Okay, I appreciate that. I've been there too. And sometimes, and here's where I've been as well, sometimes we're feeding more out of our hole. We're not allowing God's Spirit to really pour out. And we get worn out. We get burnt out because we're needing to help and care for more people than what we're allowing that ministry and that care to come into our lives. All I'm saying is that God wants to pour his Holy Spirit on his church. God wants to pour his Holy Spirit in my life and in your life. And it's not that God is doing anything wrong. He never is doing anything wrong. It's that on my end of the hose, I've got to be open to God. I'd be able to stand before God and say, God, have your way. Whatever you want to do, I want you to pour through me with the kind of power that you say you have and I believe you have. I want you, God, I want there to be no restrictions. No restrictions. Just pour out of me, God. Pour out of me. And it says in Luke that when that doesn't happen, in other words, maybe even when we ask someone to become a Christian, but we're not interested or we don't care about whether they're filled with the Holy Spirit, we may be putting them in a position where they're worse off than they were before. And that is a sobering thought. I've prayed with a lot of people those prayers. You know, let's just ask Jesus into your heart. And would you just say after me? You know, and I pray those words. And I'm going to keep doing that. I think that's still important. But I'm not going to stop there anymore. I'm going to be praying that God's going to do what he promises. And that this new Christian, this person who has just repented, remember that's important, and believed, that new person is now completely and entirely full of God. Full of God. Yeah. From demon possession to divine possession. And a lot of times we think, you know, oh, that person's possessed. We say that, you know, that person's possessed. And you know what? Let me change the whole way of thinking. We ought to be possessed. I hope you're possessed. But not by a demon. But I hope you are possessed by the living God. He came to live in you. He came to possess you, to take control of you, to fill you with his Spirit. You understand that? We need to be possessed with the Spirit of God. And how does that happen? I'm going to end on this. You know what? I don't think this is that hard. I think this is actually really easy. And sometimes we don't believe that. We think, oh, man, getting full of the Holy Spirit, you got to grit your teeth and, you know, okay, fill me. You know, how's this going to work? I go, how's it? It's hard to get filled with the Holy. It must be really hard to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. Or we think that we have to be like the prophets of Baal. When they tried to get hold of their God, they ran around and they cut themselves and they sang loud and they cheered and, come on, God, we need you. Let's do this. You know, show up, show up, show up. That's not what Jesus says. Here's what Jesus said. He said, you want it? Ask for it. So I'm going to just believe that, even though that might seem like it's not enough. You want it? Ask for it. You want the Holy Spirit and you're not sure you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Then just ask. You'll receive it. And if he says that's true, I'm going to just believe it. I'm going to believe it. He said to the woman, if you want to just some proof of that, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him. That's all you needed to do, really? That's all you needed to do, lady. You just needed to ask him, and it would have been, I'd have given it to you. So if that's true, and it is, then why would it be any different today? Maybe today you're thinking, I'm not sure I have the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure I'm filled. Or maybe I want more. I want the hose to be so free on the other side. I don't want to have a kink. I want to pour it out. I'm going to tell you some really good news today. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. I'm not making that up. It's Jesus who says that. One more in just a few verses over, or chapters over, in Luke. This is so good, and this is awesome, because when we prayed this morning with some of my prayer team, Doug actually quoted this, making it absolute confirmation to me that we're on the right track here. He quoted from John chapter 7. Listen to this. Be convinced that this is truth today. Jesus said this, on the last and on the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this, now get this, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Do you understand this? Jesus says you got to just ask. Are you thirsty? Here's what he's saying. Are you thirsty? Good. If you're thirsty, ask and you'll receive this. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow within him. And by this he meant what? The Holy Spirit. He's not talking about this kind of water. He's talking about the Spirit who's going to live in us. He says you just got to ask. It's not as hard as you think. You just need to ask. Do you think that Jesus wouldn't want you filled? Of course not. He told us that we wouldn't be effective harvesters, we wouldn't be effective gatherers unless we had the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about it that Jesus wants you full of him, full of joy, full of purpose, not distracted anymore, right? No more distractions. I know you're getting me, because I get it, you and me both. I don't know who you are, but we're both distracted sometimes, right? Do you think that Jesus doesn't want you full? He said, ask, and you will receive this. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to ask the leaders of this church to come forward first. So all of you guys and gals, come up here right now. Don't wait. And I'm asking these people, and I want you just to stand in the middle there somewhere for now. Just stand right there. Just behave. We're told in a couple different times in the New Testament that the power of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit was inferred upon some people because they were laid on. Leaders laid hands on people who wanted this. And maybe you don't want this today. That's okay. But if you're thirsty today maybe you want this, then why would you leave without receiving it? So in the New Testament, there were times when leaders would lay hands on people and say, again, guys, this isn't hard, so you don't need to do anything especially difficult. You just have to ask. Ask that the Holy Spirit will fill anyone who wants to come forward. Ask. And then let's just believe it. Let's believe that he's going to fill us, he's going to empower us, and that we are going to be more effective gatherers. So here's the, I'm going to end on this. I know you've been saying that 10 times, but here's the, why don't you guys stand like three this way and three on this side so people can walk between you. Can we do that today? Okay, here's the question. And I want you to think about this, and I want you to respond to it. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsting today for the Holy Spirit? Are you thirsting for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life? Maybe you're looking for the gifts that... Maybe you're looking for the gifts. Right? What does God want for you? Are you ready to say to God today, God, whatever you ask of me, I want to receive whatever gift it is you want to give me. But God, I know I need to be powered. And I'm tired. Maybe you're saying, like I've said many times, I'm tired, God, of being anemic, powerless. I'm tired of the dribble that's happening on the other end of this thing when I know what your plan for me is, that it's going to just gush out in a stream of living water. I know we don't do this. We're not a church that does this, but we do now. We do now. Not because we want to be radical, but because Jesus said, this is how you receive the living water. Come to me. Come to me and ask. It's available. It's available. He is available. The Holy Spirit is a He. He's available. He wants to fill you. You say amen? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And I just say one more thing before I do that, and that's that. If you're thirsty, this is what this is. I'm speaking to the people here today who are thirsty for more of a Holy Spirit. If you're not thirsty for that, then one of two things are true. You're either very full of God, and that's great. So you don't come up. You don't feel like you need to. You're full of God. You're full of the Spirit. It's just pouring out of you. Praise God for that. Or you're dead. Because dead people don't have the Holy Spirit. You're dead in your sins, and you need to be regenerated. You need to repent and believe and come to Jesus, and he will fill you. So this is for those of us who are thirsty. And you say today, God, I'm thirsty. I thirst for you, my King. I thirst for the living water. As a deer pants for water, so I thirst for you. Why are you disquieted, O my soul? Why are you so discouraged within me? I want to put my hope in God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are thirsty. I'm going to give you something to drink that's going to last you forever. So I want you to come this way. I've got two people starting. And I'm also going to ask Darcy and Cheryl, would you guys just come to the front here? There might be some people who need Darcy. Maybe there's a few people here who want some prayer or a prophetic word, or maybe you need some healing today. Gaston, would you come as well, just for healing? And we're going to sing, and we're going to worship, and we're going to ask that we can taste of the living water. If you have a... Yeah, that's good. If you just want to really hear from God today, you're going to go through this kind of quickly, but there's going to be other people here who are going to be happy to pray with you more. Maybe they'll have a prophetic word, or maybe a healing, or maybe who knows what God's going to do. Amen? So Gaston and Dawn, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Let's sing that. Those of us, we're going to sing it as we go through and as we ask God. Holy Spirit. fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Just sing it out. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You want to pray with me? This place and fill this atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. No. Your presence. Thank you, God. Your presence, Lord. You're worth more. Never come close, no thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, just welcome him. Just welcome his presence. Of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, can you pray with people? Come up here. Oh, this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us receive one more of your goodness. Let us experience the presence of your goodness. More aware of your presence, let us experience the glory of your presence. Let us be more aware of your presence. Let us experience the goodness of your goodness. More aware of your goodness, let us experience of your prudence. Spirit, you are welcome here. Just stand up here. People want to pray with you.
Is that?
I need you to pray.
Good.
We, God, is what our hearts long for. Overcome by your presence, Lord.
Jesus,
it's your presence, God. Your presence, Lord. Thank you, God. Your presence, Lord. Jesus, your presence.